Hello, my imaginary friends, SM2N here. Still the 25th of February 2016, and I'm still doing RPM Challenge updates. So this is going to bring us bang up to date, RPM Challenge. So my 15th day in the studio, and that was on the 23rd of February, in the evening. I went to the studio after a fairly long day, I have to admit, fairly long day at work, fairly interesting and in some way dramatic day at work. And but yeah, went to the studio a little bit tired. I'd had a coffee, so I was a little bit. I had a coffee. Don't know what time it was, 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening. Probably 7 o'clock in the evening. So, yeah, still caffeine buzzing around my system. So had enough energy, but also just the impetus of I've got to do song seven. Really. For the album. So, but let's actually rewind back a bit. So I had an idea in my head of a song or an album title or something using the word, using a particular word that I'm not going to talk about, but it's a 12-letter word. It's a 12-letter word that, again, is a word that popped up quite a lot during February, and I thought, well, that's a nice name, that's a nice word to use for an album title or a song title, etc. So I've been sort of trying to think about this word and sort of collecting ideas about this word, creating little phrases that kind of embody or define the word, trying to create little lyrical ideas of narrative that perhaps a character might be talking about in a song or singing about in a song. That would all tie in with this theme. Just playing around with the word, trying to find a way of creating a structure. I also took the 12 letters of the word and tried turning them into initial letters. So I thought, okay, well, I could write some lyrics where each of those 12 letters becomes the first letter on a line of a lyric. So, hypothetically, assuming that the first letter was the letter D, I could write a lyric where the first line of the lyric started with the word do or something, and then if the second letter in the word was I, then the second line of the song would start with a word beginning with the letter I. And thereby, the word itself would be coded into the lyrics. So you'd only then see that word if you, you would see that word if you looked down the lyric sheet and happened to glance at the first letter of every line. You would see the word spelled out. So that was one thing I tried. I also tried creating phrases where I'd use those 12 letters to be the initial letter of each word. So I came up with a few sentences and phrases that would where the initial letter of every word would spell out this 12-letter word. And again, tried with both those techniques, creating phrases that would fall in with the theme of the song name. So I tried all that. So during the day, I was jotting down ideas. Doing one of my favourite things now is being on the train and just jotting down some words on the train where it's noisy, but there's no music, there's no particularly loud voices, so you can kind of concentrate on words. I find it quite good to concentrate on words there. I do sometimes listen to music on the train if I want to get some musical inspiration, but if I'm looking for lyrics, then yeah, somehow being on the train is quite a nice way of doing it. So during the day, I was jotting down ideas and phrases and stuff like that. But when I reached the studio, I still wasn't really clear what I wanted to do with the words. Then I thought, well, another way to use these 12 letters would be to turn them into musical notes. So I wrote down the, on a notepad, I wrote down the alphabet, A, B, C, to all, A to Z, and then I wrote down beneath those, I wrote down musical notes. So I started off with A on octave zero. So A0 written under A, and then B0 under B, C1 under C, because you switch to octave one when you get to the C. And carried on, so all the way up to G, so G1, and then H then became A2, and so on. So basically ended up with the eight notes of the C scale, repeating again and again. So basically the white notes on a piano keyboard, all corresponding to A to Z, and then used the spelling of the word to then give me a sequence of 12 musical notes, all on the same scale. So the reason I didn't use all of the musical notes in the Western musical scale, i.e. the sharps and flats, as well as the white notes. Oh, I can't think of the word. Yes, anyway, because then I would end up with a sequence that wouldn't necessarily work, and as a music, you know, the notes would be discordant with each other if it was all 12 notes from the octave scale. I just used the seven normal notes. Can't think of the word. It's not sharp or flat. It's the other one. Anyway, it's like a little. It's like two L's kind of in an embrace. The symbol that you use on the stave to indicate that it's not sharp or flat. Anyway. So I ended up with 12 musical notes that would all kind of work together because they'd all be in the same scale. And I chose the C scale for simplicity. So then I programmed those 12 notes into my Electribe as a baseline sequence. So I distributed those 12 notes over the 16-note or 16-step sequence as a series of three notes and a rest, and another series of three notes and a rest, and another series of three notes and a rest, and another series of three notes, and then a final rest. So that gives me a little whatever sound sequence of notes. So I programmed in that, and I thought, no, that sounds all right, but it would sound better on a 303 type of bass line, because then I could have slides built in between some of the notes. So I took the same thing and transcribed that into my Korg Vocal Bass. Now with Korg Vocal Bass, you can do step input, which I had to look up how to do. It's not a technique I usually use. I usually play the notes live and record them, and then or play the notes live and don't record them. But I don't normally do step input like that, so I had to look up how to do it. But I found it and keyed the notes in, and then played that along in parallel with the version on the Electribe, and it sounded the same. So I was happy I'd managed to get the notes keyed in without making any errors. Because on the Electribe, you can just dial the notes up and down, and you can see the notes on the little screen as A0, A1, B0, C1, C2, D1, etc. You can see on the screen, but on the Vocal Bass, you can't see it. You just you have to remember what the black notes and what the white notes mean. But yeah, managed to get that right. So that gave me a bass line on my little bass line synthesizer, and put some slides in there where they would be most effective. So I was quite happy with that. I then thought, right, well, can I turn those four sets of three notes into a chord sequence? So I looked at what notes were in there and then formed a chord for each, and then I programmed those chords into my chord Fokker keys to give me that chord sequence. And it just all built it all from there. So starting off with a 12-letter word, transcribing the letters of the alphabet into musical notes on the musical scale using the white notes on the piano keyboard, and turn that into a chord sequence, and found some little melodies and counterpoint sounds and things like that that would fit in with that structure. So the end result is a song which is purely instrumental and is all derived from that word, the way that word is spelled. All those ideas for lyrics and concepts and stuff like that were not required at that point. And I got to the point where the lateness of the evening said to me that I needed to kind of find a point to stop. So I thought, well, I'll just keep it as an instrumental for now, because I programmed in something into my Monotribe as well. But with Monotribe, it's only got one memory. You can only save one memory into the device. I like to have it saved as blank, so that whenever I power on my Monotribe, it will be a blank canvas, and I can just start creating on it. So I didn't want to save what I created on day 14 day 15. I didn't want to save that to be the default boot up sequence that the device that the Monotribe would come up with. So I thought, well, I'm not going to save this. So if I'm going to spend a second evening on this song, then I'm going to have to recreate the Monotribe bit from scratch. So I decided I'm going to just leave it here. I'm not going to try and develop it with lyrics and vocal snippets and things like that. I'll just leave it in that format. So I went ahead and recorded it. And one of the things that I quite like, there's a track by by Leftfield called "Song of Life." And one of the things I love about that is there is a bass line sequence on there. I assume it's a TB-303. It sounds very much like a TB-303, Roland TB-303 device. But there's a bass sequence on there that starts off as a nice kind of nice slow sequence, and then partway through the song, it changes tempo and it's suddenly twice as fast as it was before. Or I assume it's twice as fast. It's about twice as fast. So I like the fact that they've taken the same sequence and the same programmed element. The same instrument, and they've just changed it from one speed to double the speed partway through the song, and carries on the song with at double the pace, as it were. So I kind of wanted to do that as well with this. So I wired up my hardware so that I could use the sync signal that controls the tempo. That it would go through my Monotribe, the Monotribe, if I switch it to there's a half speed button, or key combination that changes it to half speed or to normal speed, and so I thought I'd use that. And it changes the sync signal so that everything that's downstream also would then be half the speed or double the speed. So I deliberately chained up my devices so that the baseline synthesizer then would be downstream of the monotribe. So when I changed the monotribe to be double the speed, then the baseline synthesizer would be double the speed as well. So yeah, I did that. I wired it up that way. So when it then came to making the arrangement, putting the arrangement together on the song, the song kind of comes to an end, and then it starts again with that tempo change built in, which obviously changes the tone of the track. And suddenly it's a lot more frenetic. So the monotribe is going twice as fast, the bassline synthesizer is going twice as fast, that kind of stuff. So I think the drum machine, called Vocal Beats drum machine, is also going twice as fast as well. So yeah, suddenly a lot of things are going twice as fast, and it changes the tone of the track. So I'm not sure whether that will just be one track with kind of two bits to it, or whether I'll end up making that like two tracks, part one and part two. I suppose the only benefit of having it as part one and part two is that you could then play part two on its own. So yeah, maybe I'll leave it as one song that kind of has a false ending and then resumes in a slightly different way. Maybe that's a nicer idea. It does then, but if I go for that option, it does then mean that I've only got seven songs. Whereas if I make it part one and part two, then it becomes eight songs. So, but it was one performance. It was one recording. So perhaps I should. No, I'm going to stick with it being one song. Anyway, yeah. So there you go. That's a very long-winded explanation of day 15 in the studio and song 7 or 7 and 8, depending on what I decide in the end. But yeah, there we go. Thanks for listening. If anyone's listened this far, thank you for that. You take care. Toodle-boo.